May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture readings this morning are so wild and wonderful, filled with so much narrative drama, it's hard for a preacher to know where to begin. It's tempting sometimes just to let these stories speak for themselves, say amen, and sit back down. And I was just thinking, I love that last verse of that hymn where it says, God is his own interpreter. Like, okay, I don't need to be here. But and I think, too, of comedian Jack Benny. Maybe you've heard this quote from him. He said, you know, a sermon should have a good beginning and a good ending, and they should be as close together as possible. Well, with apologies to Mr. Benny, I think this sermon will have a middle. There's just too many wonderful lessons to pass over quickly. We have such wonderful scenes in these readings. We have the risen Jesus making breakfast on the beach. We have Peter jumping into the lake to greet the Lord after getting dressed, of course. And then we have the disciple Ananias, who not only prays for his former enemy Saul at God's command, but generously calls him brother. These are stories of the miraculous meeting the commonplace, as we have Jesus in his glorified body eating a freshly caught piece of fish, and as light from heaven literally knocks a proud man off his high horse. Wonderful stuff, hard to pick one thing to focus on. So here's where I landed. In today's readings, we hear about two encounters with Christ that made all the difference for two of Christianity's greatest leaders, Peter and Paul. Church history tends to focus on the differences between these two men, Peter with his heart for Israel and Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. But their missions both began in the same place, in the presence of Jesus, who did the same three things, really, for both of them. Before they so boldly shared the gospel, both Peter and Paul were, first of all, humbled. Second, they were restored. And third, they were sent. As I move through these three points, I invite you to think about your own journey with Christ, because I believe these movements of being humbled, restored, and sent are some of the basic motions of the Christian life. It's not a set formula, and as we'll see with Peter and Paul, it doesn't happen the same way for every person. But my guess and my hope is that many of you will recognize yourselves in at least part of these stories. So first of all, both Peter and Paul were humbled. With Paul, called Saul in today's reading from Acts, this humbling was both obvious and dramatic. We have Saul, the righteous persecutor of the church, the man who had the authority to arrest and bind anyone who believed in Jesus, struck down and struck blind. Now, Saul does not invite this in any way. Rather, Jesus confronts him personally and directly. How hard and how humbling this must have been for Saul. Now he has to rely upon the kindness of the very people he'd been persecuting. In Peter's case, well, Peter had a hand in his own humbling, didn't he? He had a hand in his own undoing. Peter was humbled not by a light or a voice from heaven, but rather by his own weakness and sin. In our gospel reading, Jesus asks Peter three times if Peter loves him. And Jesus isn't just playing a game here or trying to make Peter feel bad. Jesus' three questions mirror Peter's three denials. You remember the story. Peter, who thought he was strong enough to face death with Jesus. Peter, who thought he was more loyal than the rest of the disciples. It was Peter who denied three times that he even knew who Jesus was. One of my favorite Christian recording artists is a man named Rich Mullins, who tragically died in a car accident in his early 30s. He has a great song called, "We Are Not As Strong As We Think We Are." And part of the song lyric goes like this. "Well, it took the hand of God Almighty to part the waters of the sea, but it only took one little lie to separate you and me. We are not as strong as we think we are." I think this was Peter's experience, and I can definitely relate to it. Peter was humbled when he realized he was not as strong as he thought he was. Being humbled is not fun, whether it's through our own failings or by God himself getting a hold of us and reminding us that we're not the be-all and end-all or smarter than he is. Being humbled is not fun, but for both Peter and for Paul, it was the first step toward new life. Secondly, Peter and Paul were both restored. They were humbled, but then Jesus graciously lifts them back up again. For Peter, this happens again in that beachfront question and answer session. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter denied three times, and Jesus now gives him the chance to affirm his love three times. It's not that this is a magic number or that Peter somehow makes up for what he did, but Jesus, who interestingly here calls Peter by his former name, Simon, son of John, here Jesus forgives and restores Peter to be that rock once again. Peter is restored. For Paul, the restoration comes through the obedient prayer of Ananias, who lays his hands on Saul and prays for him in the name of the Lord to restore his sight. The strange news that something like scales fell from Paul's eyes may mean a physical thing, but whatever else it may mean, it certainly marks a spiritual turning point. We know that because as soon as his sight is restored, we're told that Saul gets up and is baptized. You know, Jesus could have knocked Saul to the ground and left him there. He would have deserved it. But God restores him and lifts him up instead. To mention another song, and it's a Bible verse too, some of you remember that praise chorus from the 1980s, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Both Peter and Paul found this to be true. Third and finally, both Peter and Paul are sent. Having been humbled and restored, they are each given a task. For Peter, we heard that after each time he affirmed his love for Jesus, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep," or "Tend my lambs." Jesus has set Peter apart as a leader in the church, and he is telling people to lead and serve and nurture the other disciples. Sadly, he also tells Peter that Peter's going to die as part of his loyal following to Jesus. But until then, Peter is sent and commissioned, "Feed my sheep." With Paul, Jesus tells the disciple Ananias that Paul is God's chosen instrument, chosen to bring the name of Jesus before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. And so Paul, too, is sent and commissioned. And notice that, like Peter, this commission also comes with suffering. As the Lord tells Ananias, "I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." In the context of Acts chapter 9, I think Jesus is telling Ananias not to try to take revenge on Saul. After all, he's being asked to go and pray for this man who had been the persecutor of the church. Jesus says, "Do not try to take revenge on this now helpless man. God will take care of everything." But we know as we follow Paul's career that he did suffer greatly, even as he rejoiced greatly in his service to the gospel. So Peter and Paul, humbled, restored, and sent, held and sustained by a gracious God through it all, including through the suffering they both endured for the sake of Christ. How did this happen? How did Peter get over the shame of his denial to become the bold preacher we see in the book of Acts? And how did Saul, the murderous persecutor of Jesus' lambs, turn his life around so completely that he came to proclaim in the synagogues, "Jesus is Lord"? Well, I think how is answered with one other word, Easter. And in case it's not obvious enough what I mean, but when I say Easter, here's one more word, resurrection. We are in the season of Easter in the church, and in these weeks we hear again and again from the scripture readings that as people recognize and meet the risen Christ, as Peter and Paul both did, they are changed from the inside out. Do you recognize yourself in any part of Peter's story or of Paul's? When and where have you been humbled? When and how have you experienced the restoration and forgiveness of God? And what task has God given you to give meaning and purpose and joy to your life? And because it's in the service of Christ, it will come with suffering. What task has God given you in this world? These things may not happen in order or even only once. They happen again and again. God deals with us individually. It may not happen for you exactly as it did for Peter and Paul. But I believe these three things, being humbled, restored, and sent, are common movements of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And they belong together. It's no good to be humbled without being lifted up. It's no good to be forgiven and restored and made new if we do not use that gift to serve. These things belong together. May we today open our hearts to this risen Lord of grace, and may the scales fall from our own eyes as we turn them upon him. Amen.